We do want to give each one a very warm welcome this evening to our midweek meeting. We do thank you for joining with us, even there in your own home. And whether you're joining across sermon audio or on Facebook, we trust that you will remain with us as we meet together around the Word of God, and that the Lord will bless His Word to our hearts this evening. Amen. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. And we're conscious this evening that we need the help of the Lord as we come to minister His Word. And let us each one just take that moment to seek the Lord's face together now. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can still our hearts in Thy holy presence. We rejoice, O God, in the words of the psalmist, "Be still and know that I am God." And therefore, our Father, as we take this time to come aside from all the cares and struggles of this old world, we do thank Thee, our Father, that we can know Thy presence and we can enjoy that fellowship and that communion with Thyself. We pray that as we seek to lift our hearts heavenward, that Thou wouldst draw us out, O God, after Thee in that spirit of believing prayer. And as we look to Thee, our Father, we come in the name of our Lord and Saviour, and we thank Thee for all that the Lord Jesus Christ is to His people. We thank Thee that the Apostle could remind the Corinthians that He is unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We thank Thee that as we look by faith to our Lord and Saviour, that He is our all in all, that we are complete in Him, and Thou hast granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. And we thank Thee, our Father, that our lives are hid with Christ in God, and that even this night we can look forward, our Father, with that great expectation right out into eternity. And we rejoice, O God, in that eternal security that we enjoy in our Lord and Saviour. We do thank Thee, our Father, for Thy goodness and mercy day by day. We look to Thee as the one who daily loadeth us with benefits. Thou art the God of our salvation. And Lord, for every material, temporal, and spiritual blessing that Thou dost grant to us, we pray that our hearts would know that spirit of gratefulness and of thanksgiving, and even of praise unto the Lord our God, the one who is the fountainhead of all good things. And we pray, O God, that our hearts tonight might even rejoice in Thee. We acknowledge, O God, that we live in difficult days, and we know, our Father, the many difficulties that Thy children would face on a daily basis. But we pray tonight knowing that Thou art one who has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Thou wilt never leave, Thou wilt never forsake Thy children. And, O Lord, we pray that we would know that real sense of the divine presence even at this time. And, O Father, for the power of God the Holy Spirit, that Thou wouldst grant to us that enabling grace day by day. And, Father, whatever hurdle would present itself in front of Thy children, give us grace, O God, to get over it, and grant that we would press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We do pray for the work and for the witness here in Hillsborough, and we thank Thee, our Father, even for this opportunity tonight, this privilege that is ours, the blessing of being able to open the Scriptures together. But we're conscious, O God, that we're not meeting even as a congregation, and Lord, we long for that time when we can once again come together into the house of God. And we pray to this end that Thou wouldst move, O God, against this coronavirus. Thou wouldst be pleased to drive it back, O God, not only from homes and from families, but, O Lord, from our community, even from our land and nation, and Lord, right across the world. We have prayed in the past, O God, for even a vaccine to be found, and we thank Thee, O God, for progress even in this matter. And we pray pray that thou wouldst continue to go before and to answer prayer, and grant our Father that here we would know that definite intervention. We think of those who have suffered the effects of the coronavirus. We thank thee for those, O God, who have known that measure of improvement in recent days. There are others, O God, who are going through that unpleasant experience, and we pray that thou wouldst be with them. Thou wouldst uphold them, O God, with the right hand of thy righteousness. And for those who need thee especially at this hour, O Lord, answer prayer for them and draw very near. We think of others, O God, who are led aside, and some tonight who are in hospital. There are those who are facing treatment, and we pray that thou thyself, O God, would be with them and be pleased, their Father, to perfect that which concerneth them. And even for sorrowing hearts tonight, we know that in recent days the hand of death has, Lord, come again as that unwelcome visitor. And we ask our Father that thou wouldst minister to those who have lost loved ones, hearts, O God, that would be heavy, hearts that would be weighed down with that burden of grief and of sorrow. O Lord, come, we pray, pour in the oil of joy for mourning, give the garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness. And so, Lord, come this evening, give us help as we look into thy word. We pray that it might come, O God, as a word in season to our hearts, and it would be a blessing to each one that is tuned in tonight. And we thank thee, our Father, for those who come, those who take time to listen to the messages as they're broadcast. And we ask, our Father, that those messages might prove to be that means of encouragement to every child of God. Build us up, our Father, we pray, as we listen to thy word. May we know by experience that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, defeat the devil, give us help from heaven, and may that spirit of wisdom and of understanding rest upon us at this hour. We offer our prayer in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Let us turn together this evening in God's precious word to Paul's letter to the Ephesians and to the chapter 6. Paul's letter to the Ephesians and the chapter 6. We're going to move down the chapter to take up a reading at the 10th verse, and they would be bringing before us tonight some very familiar words. And so we're reading from Ephesians, and it's the chapter 6, and reading together from the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. And we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading from his own precious and infallible word. And I'm taking as my text from this passage the words of verse 10. And you can see verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. As we think of these words together, we're seeing here in verse 10 encouragement for the battle. Encouragement for the battle. Now, today is, of course, Remembrance Day. Today is the 11th of November 2020. And throughout our land today, and even throughout the Commonwealth countries, there have been those socially distanced acts of remembrance. And it came at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And that started in 1918. The 11th of November 1918, it marked the end of the First World War. And from 1918 onwards, this day has ever been observed as a day of national remembrance. It not only marked the end of hostilities, 1918, the First World War, but of course it was a time to remember those service men and women who had lost their lives in the great conflict. And down through the generations, down through the years since, we remember those who lost their lives in those subsequent conflicts and battles. Those who had entered in to the battle. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is speaking to us about entering into the battle. And of course, he's speaking here about that spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare of the Christian. And the Apostle Paul likens the Christian life to a battle. Warren Wiersbe, Bible commentator, he said, "The believer's life is not a playground, but a battleground." And you wouldn't be too long in the Christian life, you wouldn't be too long saved until you realize that every day there's a battle to face. And the Christian will battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we can see from the language of Scripture here that the Apostle Paul is showing to us this very battle. And as believers, we have all enlisted in the Lord's army. And that's one of the most familiar figures in the Word of God to describe God's people. We're in the army of the Lord. We're to do battle for the Lord. We are Christian soldiers, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our commander in chief. We find in Ephesians 6 that Paul gives to us here the spiritual armor for the battle. And I'm sure you're familiar with each piece of the gospel armor, and that we might put on that gospel armor and we would enter into the battle for the Lord. There are many different portions of Scripture where the Apostle Paul would speak to us about this battle. You remember when he was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse 12, he was wanting to encourage Timothy in this battle, and he said to him, "Fight the good fight of faith." We're to enter into that battle for the Lord. As he wrote the second letter to Timothy, he again made reference to that battle. And as he wrote there in 2 Timothy, the chapter 2 and the verse 3, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And Paul leaves Timothy in no doubt that we are to be soldiers of the Lord. In fact, in the very next verse there in 2 Timothy 2 and in the verse 4, he said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And Paul is saying the Lord had chosen him to be a soldier. And he's chosen each one of us to be soldiers. As he has saved us by his grace, we have entered into the army of the Lord. We have enlisted there as soldiers of the Lord, and we're to engage in that battle for the Lord. That's why when Paul went on in 2 Timothy into the chapter 4, and he was speaking there about his departure, how he would soon leave this scene of time. And what did he say in verse 7? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. And how when it comes to the end of the battle for each one of us, we want to be able to say we've fought a good fight as soldiers of the Lord. And even the hymns that we have in our hymn book, the language of our hymns would take up this very figure and picture the Christian as a soldier. Perhaps the best known one of all would be that hymn, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. You think of that hymn, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. You think of the hymn that we were listening to tonight at the commencement of our service, and it asks the question, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Another hymn in her book would say, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. And that hymn would be based on the portion of scripture that we have read together, put your armor on. And so tonight, for just a very brief time together around the Word of God, I want us to think about being a soldier of the Lord and entering into the battle for the Lord. And before you enter the battle, you must prepare. Every good soldier must be prepared before he enters into the battle. And the apostle would be showing us here there is preparation. There's the need to put on the gospel armor. But here, just in verse 10, before he even gets to the putting on of the armor, he wants to give a word of encouragement to Christian soldiers in the battle. And we just dwell on these words this evening in verse 10. And he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. A word of encouragement to soldiers in the battle. And the encouragement here comes firstly in the address, the way the Apostle Paul addresses the soldiers of the Lord. He said to them, finally, my brethren. You notice how he addresses them? He says, my brethren. And the possessive pronoun there, which is all important. And the Apostle Paul is showing that he ranks himself alongside these individuals, and he wants to identify himself with them. And he said, they're my brethren. That term brethren there shows the bond that they have, the one with the other. It shows that affinity. It shows that unity. Where the Apostle Paul is able to come to God's people and he's saying to them, you're my brethren, you're my brethren. And when you think of that address, surely there would be encouragement for anyone who would read this letter that here's the Apostle Paul, who is the great leader of the New Testament church, and here he's saying, you're my brethren. He's standing alongside us. He's identifying himself with us. And there's a oneness here. There's a unity in this particular term of affection. It is to be united, the one with the other. And we are united together in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're united in Christ. by faith. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we're bonded together there by Christian love. And Paul is happy to refer to us as his brethren. And there's great encouragement there for every child of God when we realize afresh that oneness, that unity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's times whenever Paul would not only call them brethren, but he would say, my beloved brethren. And he's putting in there the agape word for love. Such was his love for the children of God. Such was his affection for them that he calls them his beloved brethren. And he wants to show them his support. He wants to show them that he's standing with them in the battle. He wants to encourage their hand here in the Lord. And every saved soul tonight, we should realize afresh that we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're born into the family of God. We're born from above. We're the sons and daughters of the Almighty. And we should be there united together in the Lord's army, beloved one of another. Terrible thing if disunity gets into the ranks of an army. May it would greatly weaken the ability of that army to achieve anything, to conquer any ground if there's disunity and disharmony in the ranks. How important it is to have that unity, the one with the other, with God's people. You remember way back in the book of Genesis, the chapter 13, and there was strife. Strife between the herdsmen of Abram and of Lot. And we read in Genesis 13 and the verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Abram was saying, let there not be any strife between us, for we be brethren. And we apply that to ourselves today spiritually. We're brethren, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let there not therefore be that strife between us, for it would greatly weaken our ability to accomplish anything for the Lord and to gain any ground for the Lord. You're familiar, I'm sure, with those words in the Psalm 133. Again, it shows the importance of that unity together as brethren. When the psalmist David wrote, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant a thing it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that's something that the apostle was reminding God's people about as he writes to the Ephesians here, and he would speak to us this evening. He comes with that final exhortation to them, and he says, finally, my brethren. And when he addresses them in that way, there would be encouragement of heart there for them as they engage in the battle of their day. But here we not only see the encouragement in the address to God's people, but there's encouragement in the appeal to God's people. When you look at that text, verse 10, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And that was the appeal of the Apostle Paul to the soldiers of the Lord who were going to engage in the battle. He had to say to them, be strong. You're going to stand for the Lord. You're going to be a soldier of the Lord. You're going to enter into the battle. You need to be strong. Joshua had to take over the leadership of Israel at the death of Moses. And you would know in Joshua chapter 1, three times over, you'll read those words, be strong. There in Joshua chapter 1 and the verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Then you can see also in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And you come down to verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid. There it was with Joshua, that exhortation being given to him. He had to be strong, he had to be courageous. The days of Hezekiah, it's recorded for us in 2 Chronicles in the chapter 32 and the verse 7. Hezekiah made an appeal to God's people. And he said to them there, 2 Chronicles 32, the verse 7, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. And Hezekiah was coming to encourage the hearts of God's people and to say to them, be strong, be strong. You notice how the people responded to those words of promise from Hezekiah. He said, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Whenever he assured them, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us to fight our battles. Therefore you can be strong. It says the people rested themselves upon these words. They came to lean upon those words. They came to rest their all by faith upon those words. And therefore they could be strong. Resting or leaning on the promises of God. Be strong. Isaiah chapter 35 and the verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Surely a word for us today when so many are fearful. The circumstances that we find ourselves in here on a daily basis, many whose hearts are failing them because of fear. The Lord from his word would say to us today, be strong and fear not. When Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, he appealed to them. 1 Corinthians 16 and the verse 13, he said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Quit ye like men, be strong. And I've just shown you those few examples to impress upon us tonight that over and over again, that appeal would come in God's word to his people, be strong, be strong. It's a word that would come to us this evening. Paul was writing to Timothy, and we were in 2 Timothy chapter 2 a moment ago, but we didn't read the first verse. The first verse says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul said to young Timothy, be strong, Timothy. My, when we enter into the army of the Lord, we need to be strong. Because sin today is rampant. Sin is paraded blatantly and arrogantly out in the open in our land and nation. Sin today has become so bold, and the devil is seeking to make inroads into the Church of Jesus Christ. The Christian needs to be strong, to be unwavering, that will not be overcome with temptation, will not be overcome by the wiles of the devil, but we would be strong soldiers, soldiers of the Lord. And while tonight I would say the appeal from the apostle was to be strong, yet we can't just say to people, be strong, because we're so conscious of our weakness. But the Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. We know today, perhaps more than ever, our own frailty, the frailty of the flesh, and the weakness of our hearts. And it's no good just saying to someone, be strong. No, we must follow through with the words of our text, and it says, be strong in the Lord, and that makes all the difference. It's not be strong in yourself. It's not be strong in your own ability. It's not be strong in your own resources. It's to be strong in the Lord. And how important those three words are, in the Lord. That's the only way we can be strong. In any age, in any generation, for God's people to be strong, we can only be strong in the Lord. If you were to read through Ephesians, you would see how often the Apostle Paul uses those three words, in the Lord. I have counted 7 times. Chapter 1 and the verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord. Your faith in the Lord Jesus. And there it's in relation to our faith. Our faith must be in the Lord. And then when you come into chapter 2 and you go down to the verse 21, it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And there's that holy temple and the three words added, in the Lord. You come to chapter 4 and to the verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord. He could only testify in the Lord. You come into chapter 5 and you go to the verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Light in the Lord. Come to chapter 6 and look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Chapter 6, you can see our text, of course, verse 10, but then down to the verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a faithful, beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Faithful minister in the Lord. And you can see in the 6 chapters at least 7 occasions where the apostle keeps using this expression. And you could add to it as well, in Christ and in him. And there would be so many more. But here, just for our text of Scripture, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, when Paul appeals to God's people and he said to them, be strong. He said, be strong in the Lord. And that's where we will find our strength this evening. Sometimes you would refer to somebody, oh, they're a strong character. Strong character. Maybe they're strong intellectually. They've really trained the mind. Maybe they're strong physically. They've been to the gym and they have strength in body. And you can see the very muscles in their physical frame. Maybe they're strong emotionally. They're good at coping in times of difficulty and crisis. But it's nothing to this strength. This strength is in the Lord. It's that spiritual strength that we need for the battle. The word strong there in the original is the word dynamos. We get the word dynamite. That carries over into the English, and you can imagine the power of dynamite. And it's the word that's used as well in relation to the Holy Spirit of God. So in effect, what the apostle is appealing here is that we would be filled with the Spirit. Being strong in the Lord is really being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the apostle here is appealing to God's people about that strength. You think of the Lord's strength. And the scripture again would testify of that. 1 Samuel 15 and the verse 29. The Lord has given a title in that particular verse. He's called the strength of Israel. The strength of Israel. Isaiah 12 and the verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. There's that possessive pronoun again of the Lord. He's my strength. Psalm 18 in the verse 1, David said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You think of the words at the end there of the 19th Psalm. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength. My strength and my Redeemer. And so there's encouragement here for the child of God, for the soldier of the Lord. And there's encouragement in the address to God's people, my brethren. There's encouragement here in the appeal to God's people, be strong in the Lord. It's not our own strength. It's the strength in the Lord. But then I want you to see the encouragement here, thirdly, in the assurance for God's people. Be strong in the Lord and follow the verse, and in the power of his might. The power of his might, the almighty power, the omnipotent power. And you think of the Lord who is all powerful. And here we have the power of his might. And Paul wants the Ephesians to dwell upon this. Meditate upon the power of God, the power of his might. My, we could never fully grasp it. It's incomprehensible, that omnipotent power. And so Paul is drawing us to look away from ourselves. He's drawing us to look away from our own abilities and our own resources, and he wants us to see with the eye of faith the strength, the power, and the might of Jehovah. He's the one who created the world. He's the one who upholds this world. It's the one who is sovereign. No wonder Isaiah penned the words, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Do you feel today, child of God, your weakness? You feel you're nothing like a soldier that you ought to be? And we're conscious of our own inability. May we have that faith to trust in the Lord and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That we would be encouraged tonight in the power and might of the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament scriptures, the children of Israel were so fearful. They felt they were no match for the devil. Moses, he had to encourage them. And he said there, ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. The Lord your God. And in these days, thank God the Lord does come on behalf of his people. And the Lord strengthens his people and the Lord equips his people. You think of Israel there standing on the threshold of the promised land, and before they would cross over to go into the promised land, there was a promise given to Joshua there. Joshua 1, the verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Before they had crossed over, before they had set foot in the land, the Lord gave them the promise that wherever your foot would tread, I've given that land to you. The Lord had already given them it. They hadn't struck a blow. They hadn't entered into the battle. They hadn't engaged in the conflict. But the Lord gave them the promise, the victory is yours. That land is already conquered. The work is already done. It is accomplished there. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given it to you. Therefore, go forth. Go forth into the battle, not to fight for victory, but to fight in victory. And child of God, today that's a good lesson for us. We look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the captain of our salvation. And we think of how the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the tree, and how he shed his precious blood, and he had the victory. He had the victory over sin and death and hell itself. And the Lord wants us as his people to enter into his victory. And so in every conflict, in every battle that we face, let us not think that we're having to fight for the victory. No. Our Lord and Savior, through the shedding of his precious blood, has already obtained the victory for his people. And therefore, we can go forth conquering and to conquer. And we can become more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so I trust this will be as a word of encouragement to each one that has listened in tonight, that it might encourage us in the Lord and strengthen our faith in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power. Amen. Apologies for the slight hitch at the beginning of that hymn. I want to thank you tonight for tuning in to the broadcast, and we trust that it has been a blessing to your heart as we've opened up the scriptures together. I would just want you to pray for the work of God here in Hillsborough. And we had planned or hoped to reopen the church this evening to allow the congregation to attend again. But we have chatted with the office bearers, and we feel that the time is not yet right to reopen the building. We have still a number in the congregation who are suffering the effects of the coronavirus. And in recent days, we have others who also have tested positive for COVID-19. And until we get that period, perhaps a week, where we have no new cases in the congregation, we feel we're not able to reopen the doors as yet. But we hope that it will be coming, and in the not too distant future. So pray for those who are suffering at this time and for their family circles, and that very soon the Lord's hand of healing will be upon them. And we do look forward with anticipation to being able to meet together here to worship the Lord together. Do please remember the services as they continue to be broadcast this Lord's Day at 11:30 a.m. and also 7 p.m. And we value the prayers of God's people as we seek to prepare for those services. Do remember Friday night as a presbytery night, and they're hoping to have the presbytery meeting over Zoom. So do pray for that, and we'll be sending out the login details to our elders, how they're able to join in on that Zoom meeting on Friday night at 8 p.m. Do remember our boys and girls and our young people as well, that the Lord will be with them at this time, and that they will seek to follow after the Lord, and their hearts would be exercised unto godliness. Do remember those who are led aside at this time. Just to mention one or two, our brother Mr. David Macken had a fall at home, and he was admitted to the Royal Hospital. He has undergone surgery to repair his hip, and he's recovering at this time. So do pray that the Lord's hand will be upon him. Do also remember our sister Mrs. Nora Finn, as she undergoes 5 weeks of treatment, and that treatment will prove to be successful, and that her sister too will know the healing touch of the Lord. Just to mention our brother, Mr. Matthew Eccles. Matthew has just completed his studies at the Whitfield College of the Bible, but he tested positive for COVID, and I understand he has been admitted to the hospital. So do please remember him in your prayers as well. And of course, our missionaries at home and abroad, and that the Lord in these days would continue to build up his church. Let us just close together in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for help given around thy precious truth. And we ask, O God, in these days when we're so conscious of our own inability And Lord, our own weakness, that we would know the strength and the help of God the Holy Spirit. Thou wouldst infill our hearts, O God, and empower us even to live for Thee and to live to Thine honour and to Thy glory. Do bless the work here in Hillsborough. Thou knowest those, O God, who would be struggling tonight, even physically, who need that touch in their body. We lift them up to Thee in the arms of love and in the arms of faith, and we pray for Thy blessing indeed to be upon them and upon their loved ones. We ask, O God, that very soon Thou wouldst open up the way for us to be able to come and to meet together as a congregation, as a band of Thy children. And, O Lord, here Thou wouldst hedge us about with the Saviour's precious blood. We remember those tonight, our Father, who are in hospital. We do pray for our brother Matthew. We pray for our brother David. And Lord, there are many others. And we pray that Thy presence would be with them and that Thou wouldst answer prayer even concerning them. We do remember our sister Nora Finn. And Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst be with her and grant, O God, that as she goes day by day for the treatment, that it might prove, O God, to be successful. Give her grace and strength. And Lord, as she would face that battle, may she know what it is in truth to be strong in the Lord her God. Father, hear our prayer tonight and do abide with us each one and spread Thy covering wings around till all our wanderings cease. And at our Father's loved abode, we who are saved shall all arrive in peace. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.